You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Oh yeah, the truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Vaccine Free America. I am your host, Sally L. Cordy, and my guest this evening is going to be Rebecca Campbell. I want to let you know that following Vaccine Free America at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, and 4 Pacific is Ingrid Castle's show, Immunize Wisely. And Ingrid Castle, lucky me, booked Rebecca Campbell for my show, somebody I've been looking forward to speaking with for quite some time. So thank you, Ingrid. Welcome, Rebecca Campbell.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
yes.
Sally.
Yes, certainly. I'm thrilled to have you on. I've been wanting to ask you something that has nothing to do with vaccines, one would think, except that it does, because I utilize public access television, and you gave me a heads up that the FCC may be defunding public access. I didn't even know they did fund it. So that's kind of interesting. Do you know what's going on in that regard?
I don't think it's direct. But, and I'm not sure what the mechanism is, although I can easily find out and let you know later. But the FCC is engaged in tremendous amount of mayhem right now because, and this is, of course, this is not directly seemingly related to vaccines, but you've got 5G, you've got all the mayhem that they're doing that's actually related to vaccines at a really profound level of harm with electromagnetic radiation. And there's all themes and variations on it.
Right. So, I want you to know that I started a blog called tinyurl.com/5GRefugee, but not for the typical reason that people are concerned with it, but because autism children, as you say, it's not readily seeable, but in fact, autism children's brains are laden with aluminum, and I thought this is a mechanism that might torture them. And feel free to weigh in on how you relate the two to one another.
Well, if one thinks for a second, there's a logical connection, because metal conducts electromagnetic radiation really readily. And then
right.
we get into...
You know what I found out? That aluminum is a better conductor by density than copper.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so then... we see the relationship to aerial geoengineering, which drops huge amounts of aluminum and barium through the chemtrails. So all these things are systems that connect.
What is barium? I don't even know what barium is.
It's an atomic element. It's in the high, very high part of the periodic table. And it interacts with the aluminum. And it makes you into a human transmitter and receiver of electromagnetic radiation, and it heightens the sensitivity and it heightens the damage that it does to the electromagnetic system within a living being, and that's true of human beings and all living beings on the planet. And even more so with the animals. The animals, including the insects, are which are disappearing, and the birds, are even more damaged by it than humans. Like, for example, I'm trying to remember what it was. There's damage to one system of the body that's about 15% in humans, and the same the damage that it does to the animals is 46%. You have over 30% more damage that the animals take from it than human beings do.
And probably and small human beings probably suffer the same way the animals do.
Not as much, because they're bigger. Oh. Even though they're much bigger than, not all animals, but I mean, they're obviously bigger than insects, though. But as far as in relation to adult human beings, yes. The smaller the animal, the greater the damage. You could safely say that.
Well,
and it damages plants and vegetation, too.
The vitamin K shot that is not even called a vaccine, but it's mm-hmm. given at birth to every child in New York. Other states are saying, oh my God, they're mandating it here. I said, well, I'm thinking, well, it's been mandated here for quite a while. Comes with a black box warning. And I understand has 200 times the amount of aluminum as Gardasil. That's
that
the very
could
first
very well
thing
be.
They give to babies the minute they're born. The second component is polysorbate 80, which opens the blood-brain barrier and causes sterility.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
So,
this
so
is such a catastrophe.
So, well, even worse, and you mentioned Corvella.
Oh!
Remember you said you wanted me to make a comment on that?
Let me bring people up to speed in terms of this is something that is called hashtag vaccine gate. So if you go on any social media and you type in hashtag vaccine gate, you will see something that not only shows that vaccines are all risk, no benefit, but Rebecca has a lot more to add to that. So take your time with this. A group of biologists in Italy, a society of biologists, hired the most renowned chemistry lab in Italy, Corvelva, to investigate what's inside vaccines. And Rebecca Campbell is going to impart all the things that they have discovered, and you will be alarmed.
The key thing, because, and I mentioned this in my email to you this morning, I got back to you as soon as I possibly could, Sally, because this is at the last minute, you know, being on the show, and I was busy with another, my IT friend and consultant here, I didn't have time to like get all the details, but I can give you the essence of it. And if you want more details later, I can come back on, or we can if you have a way of communicating with your readers, that we can give them a list of things they can research for themselves. But the gist of it was they found 586 when they tracked it, they found it came from a defective fetus who was autistic, and they found 586 viruses causing that were designed to cause cancer in that vaccine, in these vaccines. And there is no way that you can say that this was an accident. This is a bioweapon, and it was deliberate, and it is criminal. And at this point, like part of the reason they're pushing the vaccines so strongly, and there's many levels to this, but it's because so much of this sort of thing of deliberate harm that's coming out that the I'm going to call it. For the rest of the program, I'm calling it the pharmaceutical cartel, because that's what it is. The pharmaceutical cartel is in grave danger. Like, they're putting on a good front by trying to pass these forced vaccination bills in different variations in almost half the states right now in America. But they're going off the planet, and they're trying to do the most damage before this happens, because the exposure now is so huge, even though the mainstream media is completely controlled by the pharmaceutical corporations. 75% of their advertising comes from them, and that's one of the main reasons why you constantly get the vaccine pushing with no alternatives allowed, no discussion allowed, because if the discussion were allowed, it would blow it out of the park. It would show the total vaccine fraud. So I would say that was the core. I mean, there's more details on it, but that's what people really need to know. 586 viruses that are known cancer-causing viruses put in one vaccine based on a defective human fetus that was aborted. I mean, this is satanic. I'm just gonna lay it out. I think you want me to lay it out, so I'm just being direct about this.
Yes, I do.
And this is criminal. And it's also right. it's even more disturbing about than just criminal, because it's like you could say, yeah, they're doing it for profits, and that's true. They want to make money, but you also have ecogenocide that's involved here, and that's what people don't want to look at. They'll look as far as the profits, but beneath the they want to make money committing ecogenocide.
Which vaccine is this, Rebecca? Which one is it?
Again, because I didn't have time to prepare it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think it's Gardasil or the MMR, but I'm not completely clear. And it's a new one. It's a new variation on one of those two, as I remember.
It could very well be the MMRV, which is the MMR and varicella. The reason I bring this up is because for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, I always print out the flyer, but on the back of the flyer, every year I have something new. To share with people. And since this was the year of the measles false flag, I thought I'm going to share what I had recently received, which was Merck's post-marketing survey of reactions to the MMRV vaccine. Okay? This page was completely filled with adverse reactions to the measles vaccine. Everybody's afraid of spots for a week. And here's a list of the most heinous crimes, the diseases that are the outcome of this vaccine, which they don't know about until the post-marketing survey. So that's what I gave out this year, was the reactions, the known reactions from Merck to their MMRV vaccine. Have yourself a good long look at what could go wrong by allowing yourself or being forced into a situation. Let me tell you, I heard this from Erin of Health Nut News, because we all know what they threatened to do in Brooklyn, but I never heard someone who was in touch with someone who knows how it went down. And what she said is so alarming, I must repeat it. First of all, I want everyone to know that there's glyphosate in the MMR and five times as much as in other vaccines. And according to Dr. Stephanie Seneff, it's getting there through the pig bones. Well, who are they giving it to? They were giving it to the Hasidic Jews. It's getting there through, I repeat, the pig bones, okay? So they were going, and moreover, who else is in that community? They were doing the whole zip code. It is also a black community. And who is most affected by the MMR 2.5 times more than everyone else? Black boys.
That's right.
So here we have, it's a nightmare beyond belief. However, according to Erin, she has been in conversation with the people there. In fact, they went door to door. If they gave the shot to adults and children, both, if they said no, it was $1,000 fine per human. If they couldn't pay, it was jail. And there you go. That happened just prior to de Blasio, who's the one who pulled this off. That happened just prior to his announcing he would run for president. The only problem is nobody in their right mind would have voted for him at that point, and he was run out on a rail as a result. So good.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Get back, Rebecca, to what you had to say. I just wanted
to impart
that.
No, that's extremely relevant. And so you also – okay, so – we can also talk about, with this type of like massive abuse, I mean, that's systemic abuse. It's wanton. What can be done? All right. So from a legal standpoint or standpoint of law, in the more conventional court cases, and then there's been, I also mentioned there's another thing we can talk about is all these whistleblowers who brought these really important things out that are related to the court cases. one that you haven't heard about a lot, but it's extremely important, and that was in July of 2018, after I think a year and a half to 2 years of trying to file FOIA reports with the CDC and the FDA, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and ICANN with Dell Bigtree, you know, Informed Consent Action Network, they did a small lawsuit, like a narrow bore, very narrow bore lawsuit, where they hoped they could get it through the courts pretty quickly, because they could not get the FOI reports at all. They couldn't get any response. There was just constant stonewalling. They forced the FDA to release the documents through this court case. And the question that was, the reason they were, what they had asked in the FOIA demands was documentation of the safety studies that were mandated in the Vaccine Safety Act of 1986. And then it became obvious when they got the documents through the court orders why they had been stonewalled. They found out that there had not been one safety test done in any two-year period since 1986 by the FDA or the CDC. Not one.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, I'd call foul on that. And I'm not calling foul on Bobby and Dell. I'm calling foul on the FDA. I'm sure they have the studies, but they would rather be considered inept, even criminally negligent, than to actually show you those studies.
In other words,
If you remember, Julie Gerber-Ding and the Garbage Party, they came up with results, but they didn't like the results, so everybody had to throw it in the garbage.
All right, so that could be disinformation, but the point is, either way, the fact that they did no safety studies or the fact that they don't want to release and they're hiding the ones they got that are, to say the least, not favorable, either way, shall we say, and I'm being kind, that does not reflect very well on the FDA and the CDC.
Well, so I'm suggesting that the safety studies were so appalling that they couldn't. You know what I mean? So I think that it was resolved in a way that we can no longer go back to them and demand them. But I had read, and I flashed across my screen and across Jamie Cosenza's screen, that the FDA had discarded 30 years of studies. Wouldn't that be exactly what we were looking for?
Yes, that's probably what we were looking for.
Right.
And then, as you see in a parallel, you're going to see here, and here's where it interacts once again with the we'll call it the smart grid, with the deals with the electromagnetic weapons, which is what these things are. Okay, so what's his name from New Jersey, the senator from New Jersey. He's a crook, basically, but he cornered at one of the hearings this was on February 7th of this year, and they have the Oversight Committee for the FCC. Anyway, the senator who's on the committee cornered four executives from the telecom industry and the energy industry that want to institute 5G. And it was a similar sort of thing. He was confronting them about has the telecom industry or the energy industry done any studies on the safety of 5G wireless? And this was a 5-minute session where he asked this repeatedly with theme and variations, and they kept tap dancing around, and this sort of thing. And he never got an answer from them. So finally he said, "We're flying blind here. It looks to me like there's no safety studies whatsoever." And it could be another case where the industry secretly did the studies, but they don't want to release them. But either way, it has the same sort of thing. They're obfuscating. Whether they did the studies or not, it's a form of obfuscation. Obfuscation can be done by omission as much as it can by commission. That's my point. So so you can see it's the same pattern. They do this all the time. And as a matter of fact, there's huge amounts of military studies going back into the past century. And they know the dire effects of this. Even if the industry didn't do the studies themselves, they know what it is. So here we go with ecogenocide again. And you get this pattern. They want to make a profit, but they want to make a profit doing ecogenocide. And that's the really nasty underbelly of all this that so few people, even like vaccine activists and so forth, they don't want to look at. But unless we start looking at this, we're not going to see how to deal with it. Now, that's an example of a court case, the Kennedy-ICAN court case, that that brought some of this out. But the problem with a lot of the legal cases is they can be reversed, such as the Bayer Monsanto case and all these awards when they admitted in the past year in these court cases, like the one in San Francisco, that they caused severe harm and cancer in two of the cases, and that's nice. But then Kennedy was involved in that too. But I think they won in the initial case of the black landscaper. That I think his last name was Johnson. Anyway, they were originally awarded $280 million, over a quarter of $1 billion, and then the court they appealed it. And then they I don't even think they appealed it. But anyway, the judge cut it down to something like 70, 77 million, something like that. So you win all this, but it can be reduced or it can be reversed in the courts. And the courts are incredibly corrupt at this point. And I think people have a sense of that. So there's those of us, and I did a court case. I am the one that did Campbell versus the United States. That's myself, Rebecca M. Campbell versus Sibelius, because that was like the formal name of it, Campbell versus Sibelius, and that's the one that was done a decade ago to stop the forced vaccinations and medical martial law that had been planned for the H1N1 influenza vaccines under the UN treaties.
You're talking about Kathleen Sibelius, who was with the
HSS.
Well, why don't you tell us all about that? I am real interested in that.
Well, I want to summarize it because I want to go on to what we can actually do that's really going to work. And I just finished working on the most powerful document and most comprehensive document that takes a lot of this in. And I just finished it this past Wednesday with three other writers. And I think you're going to want to hear about that. But I'll briefly summarize what I did a decade ago. And it may have had an effect because of the timing. And a lot of times when you work on the systemic level, you don't always get some authority figure coming up and giving you a diploma or some sort of, you know, court document. Oftentimes when you work at the systemic level, you just notice things go away. If you've really been successful, you don't get any credit for it. You just see the results where whatever you tried to stop goes away in some form.
Right, so, sure.
And all right, so there was an earlier case that had been filed in America. There were several that were aborted. Apparently the people might have been disinfo agents or something. But I was asked by the woman who did the criminal charges in Vienna, where she found various irregularities with the H1N1 vaccine over there. And then she called me, and I got to know her when I heard about what she did, because I thought it was incredibly courageous, because she charged the U.S. government as part of the criminal charges, which is very gutsy.
Are you talking about Jane?
Jane Burgermeister, that's right. And Jane Burgermeister.
Where is she today? Before you proceed, where is she today? I am eager to know if she's okay.
She's all right, because I was one of the people that helped stop when they were going to kill her afterwards. All right, so but again, like, we don't have time to get into all this, but it's a huge story. But I'm trying to tell you the portion of the case that intersected with this. So she called me personally and asked me to do the case because our skills intersected. And she knew I was a powerful writer, and I had done legal cases where I had won them. Even though I'm a legal practitioner, I'm not a lawyer, but the way I speak and write, I win cases against judges and lawyers. And so I did the case. And the full name of the case is Campbell versus the United States, Comprehensive Federal Case Against Forced H1N1 Influenza Vaccinations and Medical Martial Law. And I'm the one who coined the case, the term medical martial law. That's the first time anybody had heard it. That was in the case. All right, so it's like a bullet point of what the genocidal United States government was planning to do under UN treaties that had been surreptitiously signed under George Bush Jr. And I laid out the whole case, and part of it was I got from Jane, but I had to keep it alive. My case, of all the cases, and there had been a previous case filed just before mine in New York by James Turner and Rima LeBeau. He was the lawyer, and she was the libelant on it, or the plaintiff, and they filed it against the state of New York, who was trying to force the nurses. Maybe you heard something about this.
I remember it well. I'd like to tell you how that came down, because not many people know. But go ahead.
If you want to mention that, and then And then there's a coda to it that if you don't mention it, there's the coda to it that was part of this. But anyway, before we get into that, if you really want me to finish what I was going to say, and then
yes,
you
give the portion, yes, I do.
Portion of that, the mistake they made on that, in my opinion, was they filed it at the state level, and they didn't file it at the federal level, and then they won the case, but there was something that actually won the case. It wasn't their case. It was something else. But again, I'll mention that like when you're talking about it. But anyhow, they made the mistake of not filing it as a federal case like I did, and so when they tried to, they seemingly won the case, and then they tried to bring it to the federal level, which is what I did, the judge would not allow them to jump the case to the federal level. And so the case was shut down at that point, and then mine proceeded because I had filed at the federal level. All right, so my case, of all the different cases that had been filed, lived the longest. It went for 8 months from October, and I was inspired to file it on October 23rd, 2009, and I did not know this. I felt it from within. I found out later that October 23rd, 2009 was the day that Obama declared the fake vaccine emergency based on the World Health Organization's fake figures on the whole thing. So I filed it the very day that he declared it. I had not heard about it consciously, though, but I was guided to do it, so it was exactly what I should have done. And then I laid it out in bullet point, and I brought some of Jane's things from Europe in there, and at about the fourth, the U.S. District Attorney that I was up against is now the mayor of Seattle, Jenny Durkin. And so it was me against Durkin and one of her assistants. And the judge actually was a good judge. His name's Robart, and he just retired. But he was a fair judge, and he thought my case had merit, and he knew I was a pro se. So he was very measured in what he said, but he was hinting, get rid of the European part of the case and get it more U.S.-centric if you want to keep this thing alive. So I did. And I did an amended case that was more U.S.-centric, and then it proceeded into 2010. They ended up dismissing it because they had this whole thing that Justice Lewis Powell, who was a traitor in the 1970s, instituted with it to try to discourage any more public interest cases. Like, if you're not, you know, if you haven't been, if I wasn't vaccine injured, therefore I have no right to proceed to prevent vaccine injury. They tried to, like, narrow your standing in cases.
Yeah,
and they
totally
used that
get
against
that.
Me. And they used that against me to dismiss it on June 18th, 2010. All right, so I seem to have, quote, lost the case. However, I had really laid it out, and I didn't get the support, like Robert F. Kennedy and all these other lawyers wouldn't even answer my emails when I asked for help going into court. If I had gone into court, it turned out to be a written case that I could handle with the help of one lawyer for 9/11 Truth who wants to remain anonymous and a couple other people. There's a well-known writer who helped me and one other person. They were on my team. But I didn't get the support. I should have gotten a lot more publicity. And then I was attacked by activists over in Europe who said I was a disinfo agent and this kind of thing. So it was one of the most horrible experiences of my life, and I swore I would never do a court case again. No matter how brilliantly I had done it, I will not do it again. But that being said, 5 days after the case was dismissed, Kathleen Sebelius, the number one of the plaintiffs in the case, the defendants in the case, rescinded the order for pandemic emergency for the United States. So the case actually may have had an effect because it laid out very effectively what they plan to do. And oftentimes when you expose what they plan to do, the dark forces, that's what stops them, because it's human awareness that can stop it. So
I am thrilled that you have come on and shared this and given yourself the credit you are due. I really mean it, because that you are a heroine of tremendous proportion, Rebecca. I had no idea.
It was a horrible experience. Now, right I'm after, sure. but I'm glad I did it. Now, so what I turn to,
we have to hold on. We're going to a commercial break. I'll be right back with Rebecca Campbell. You're listening to Vaccine Free America.
RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Of
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Vaccine Free Radio, and my guest today is Rebecca Campbell. I am learning what a remarkable woman she is. I've always known she's a mega researcher and has a lot of information, and you're working on several projects that I'm eager to hear about. But I want to, at this point, talk to you about the nurses, because I was at the Manhattan Supreme Court when that case was concluded, but it wasn't supposed to conclude. The judge had asked the attorneys to, she said, I want to know more about the science. Come back with the science. And that night, they declared that there was a shortage of flu shots and that they could not spare them for the nurses.
Do you want the backstory on that? There's a backstory.
I'm very interested.
All right. So
I thought I just gave you the backstory, but I guess
not. There's a backstory. There's a backstory to the backstory.
Yeah.
All right. So the clown AG who declared the vaccine emergency, and I'm forgetting his name. I don't even want to, you know, remember his name because he's a deep state agent, and he declared this. Okay. And then the New York Post published an article that showed that this clown's wife had been, she worked for, I believe, Goldcram Sachs. I think you know what I'm talking about, Goldman Sachs. And they had completed, she was a vice president for Goldcram Sachs, and they had just completed a merger between, I think it was Sanofi, with a lesser known vaccine maker in the pharmaceutical cartel, and she and her husband stood to make, you know, millions upon millions of dollars from this, and this happened to be the brand of the vaccine that the clown AG had been pushing. And when that got out, you notice suddenly it fizzled?
Well, right, honestly, yeah, I've heard that. I've actually heard that. But having been in the courtroom, mm-hmm. thinking that the case was concluded and hearing the judge call for the science, that it's not over, come back with the science, I thought that's in fact what killed it. Because if they did come back with the science, guess who would have won? The science is all on our side.
That's
part that nobody is paying attention to. There weren't a lot of people in the room that day. I feel like I have this secret knowledge because I happened to be there, you know? And
right, so
I've heard your story, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've heard it again and again. But mm-hmm. I'm giving you what I witnessed because when she said it, I gasped with delight. I was like, "Oh, they're calling for the science." You know what I mean?
You never saw anybody in another court hearing where they were presenting the evidence for that.
No, that but it died right there that day. That's what I'm saying. That's why it died. Night. That very night, they said, "Oh, we've got a shortage. We can't be giving it away to the nurses. We got a shortage."
I was just going to say, I think there's two parts to it. I think the New York Post doing that expose, and the fact that you might have had an actually just judge, similar to what I had on my case, that between the two, that may have killed it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Sometimes when you're working systemically, there's more than one thing. That's why when you take credit. It's kind of like I wouldn't take total credit for that being for the case being or the vaccine mandate being rescinded 5 days after I did it, because there were all these incredible people in Europe, including Jane Burgermeister and these other people, and they were getting the word out. I was part of that.
Right.
I think the case had a lot to do with it, but I can't claim sole credit for it. And I think it's sort of the same thing here, where there's probably two major factors for this that were godsends that stopped this.
Yes.
Outrage.
Yes.
All right.
Well. So Rebecca, let us look at our time. We have it's 37 minutes into the show. We're going to have one more commercial break. I'm going to let you choose what you would like to speak about here from. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you questions. You're going to choose.
All right. I would like to speak about a more advanced, what I consider to be a more advanced type of action of law than the court cases. And I've done both, and I've had more success, and I feel far better, because I will never do a court case again, like I said. But I will do actions of law using commercial contract law. And as I was going to court, incidentally, with Campbell versus the United States, when my late partner John Rogers and I were on our way to court after the people in Europe had asked us to file it, and we gave our word, the worldwide vaccine truth movement that was trying to stop this horrific, you know, outrage, abomination that they were trying to perpetrate through the United Nations on all of us, that I got a call. They put out the call for any lawyers that might help with this. We got more like a paralegal or legal practitioner who used contract law. And I knew about the contract law, and I knew the premises of the contract law, but I hadn't had time to explore it. He begged me, please don't file this case as a federal court case. Please consider using the contract law, and I will help you. And I said, I gave my word. So-and-so, I have to go. So I'm going to do it today, and I'm going to file it and keep my word. However, I know about what you're saying, and if you wish, I will meet with you. I'll actually come out to where you live. He had an office in one of the southern exurbs of Seattle, and I said, I will come and I will talk to you about it, and we'll see if we can work together on this. And then that's when I got involved more using commercial contract law. or sovereignty law. There's different ways of phrasing it. But in any case, I became involved through this practitioner. He created, and he asked me if I wanted to be a trustee on it, and because I was having to do this federal case that I gave my word I would do, I couldn't do that at the time. It was called the One People's Public Trust, and I think you know about it, Sally. The One People's Public Trust, FOPT?
Yes, I do, but not in depth, so I'm just going to listen, and you,
okay. So working with this guy, and I'm trying to summarize because we don't have a lot of time, but I started doing this type of law with his initial coaching, but he really wasn't that great a coach, and he didn't keep his word. Like we agreed that we would help each other with several things between the two types of law, and he was going to review my federal vaccine case and all that, and he never did it. So I kind of lost touch with him, but the point was I started investigating this other type of law. And then this woman who had worked with him, who was from Washington State, or she was living in Washington State at the time, who's a former lawyer, she did a trust action to take the charters from all the corporate governments in the world who were operating in under the control of the banking cartel. And people have to understand, and a lot of people probably already know this listening, but a lot of people may not. And what we have at this point are corporate governments. Every single government, and I put a piece of research without ascription. I often do a lot of things you see on the internet may be mine, but I don't tell you who did it. It's called Hard Evidence of Corporate Takeover at All Levels of the U.S. UN. And it lists the Dun & Bradstreet corporate code numbers for all levels of government in the United Nations and the United States. It shows that they're all private for-profit corporations. And then it has cross-references to Manta.com showing that they're private for-profit. They're not non-profit. They're private for-profit. And they're under the control of the banking cartel through the Federal Reserve in our country. So anyway, if you understand that, you can understand why if you're using commercial contract law, it's perfectly natural because you're dealing with actual corporations. You're not dealing with governments. These are fake governments. They're not the organic governments of the countries. And the U.S. Constitution has been in dormancy since Abraham Lincoln declared martial law during the Civil War that was never rescinded. So we've been under a state of emergency with various, you know, iterations of it and proclamations of it, and every so often they keep passing these laws like the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act and all that to keep us in a state of war. So we're under these, so we really have not had a republic since the Civil War, and most people don't realize that either. So anyway, that's why the commercial law is so powerful. So anyway, I found other, started working with OP because this woman who was the disciple of this paralegal that I had met trying to do the Campbell versus the United States, she was speaking at a mega level, a meta level, but she wasn't bringing it down to earth. When people were calling into the show, she'd get into this whole metaphysical speak, but she wasn't answering the people's questions. Hey, they're about ready to take my house with the mortgages. What can I do to stop this? Hey, they're trying to force my kid to have vaccines. What can I do? She wasn't giving them any answers. So I was trying to figure out how can I create a document that directly addresses these systemic abuses that are in people's lives and at the systemic level. And so fortunately, also in the movement, there was a father and son from Australia who were actual merchant marines and law merchants from the sea. So they understood this type of law too. So I got in touch with them and compared notes. And we created what we called the courtesy notice. And this is based on commercial law. And I decided that I would test this out. This was in 2013. For the IRS tax weekend in the United States, I created the IRS courtesy notice. And it laid out the offenses of the IRS, the lies and the fraud and that sort of thing. And then It stated that you have violated the contract between both political and financial between yourself and the people, and we demand that you cease and desist. So I timed that and released it through the OP movement that was at that point was worldwide, on the IRS weekend, the tax day weekend in mid-April, April 15th. Okay, and then there was a march for Monsanto that year, a really huge worldwide march. So I released the GMO courtesy notice against Monsanto. And then there was a less time-sensitive one that was about geoengineering and chemtrails. That was less, so people, and I have no idea, Sally, how many people used these, but they were all over the internet. for them to download and use. So maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people use them. But again, I'm working at the systemic level, so I can't say. 1 year later, there was the issue of smart utility meters in Seattle. They kept talking about installing them and this sort of thing. So there was this filmmaker, and you might have heard of this film that he made, and he happened to live in Seattle, the Seattle area, Josh Del Sol, and Take Back Your Power. It's a very powerful documentary about the smart grid and how the smart utility meters, which are essentially weapons, are being used by being put in people's homes, our public spaces, and our workplaces. And it gets into the constitutional issues and so forth. And he had a friend who was already working in the same vein that I was, only he had been working much longer, and he'd had incredible successes. He almost destroyed the government of British Columbia using commercial contract law because of the fraud going on there. And that's another long story, but I checked this story out. It was over a decade ago, but I found the newspaper references that proved he was telling the truth. So that's how powerful this is. So he came, Josh Del Sol invited this friend to come to Seattle and give a lecture. And we had like 50 people there, and we found out, like, he was asking, like, he was saying that this type of law, despite the fact it's commercial, it has to have a spiritual basis in sovereignty, human sovereignty. And he said, how many of you read the Bible? And this is, of course, an agnostic New Age Seattle. And the only people who raised their hands were me and him. But he said, a lot of what I'm doing is based on the alchemical power of the scriptures. And I have actually had judges run out of the courtroom using this with these documents I have created. So he created what was called, and it was similar to what I had created, only he had the genius part of it that was not in the courtesy notice, which was a contract. So the idea here is they're imposing implied contracts on us. In other words, if you don't speak up about an abuse, then you have consented to it. That's part of commercial law. And they're using commercial law. We're dealing with corporate governments. And so the genius in this is that it lists the offenses as part of the preface, and they have some other names for it that's similar to like a court case or the courtesy notice. But then it ends with this contract, and you put the contract, the implied contract they always use against us, right back in their faces, and then you state what we want. We don't consent to this, and this is our contract with you. And furthermore, if you don't answer this within 30 days, we win the case. We win, and you have to pay us this money. Since you have a lot of psychopaths that are heading these corporate governments, these people don't get pretty please, don't hurt us, because a lot of these people are Satanists. And so at the very top levels, so they get off on you being hurt or killed. What they do understand when you're going after their bank accounts and their power. And so Seattle was the pilot project, and I was part of the group in the Seattle pilot project, as was my late partner, John. He died six weeks after he signed the document, and he was very proud that he did that, and I was very proud of him. And this was the first time in the world that we tried this. And within 5 months after we filed this, half of the city council resigned. They'd all received the documents because they approved the smart meters. And these were all incumbents, and Seattle has the highest paid city council in the United States, and they all had war chests as incumbents. So it would have been a child's play for them to get reelected, but all of them suddenly said, I want to spend more time with my family, you know, the usual. Half of them resigned. All right. Then 1 month later, the head of Seattle City Light, which was the city-owned municipal utility for electricity, he resigned. And this is exactly what had happened in Vancouver, BC, where this master that we're, you know, that I was working with, master legal practitioner, had almost brought down the government there. So this is powerful, but it operates in a silent way behind the scenes. And it didn't stop the smart meters. We learned things by having done this, because we only had 21 people on this, but we still had a remarkable effect. Like, they were trying to install these starting in 2014. They didn't start installing them until like late 2016, 2017. So we delayed it by two and a half years, and they still don't have the city totally saturated with them. And we learned from this, and the two other pilot projects in Detroit and in Kelowna, which is a suburb of Vancouver, BC, that we had to have more numbers. If you have, for example, in Seattle, it's a municipal area, a metropolitan area of over 2 million people. Just 21 people doing it is not sufficient to totally shut it down. What you need is numbers. And we actually got to the point, we did all the main document, and then you remind them a couple times, and this is every 90 days, and then you start billing them for the amounts of money. And you fill in how many millions of dollars they owe you for trying to harm you and your neighbors and your family. And we could have brought down if we had gone to court, which you can do, and executed the liens, we could have brought down the government of Seattle. However, because we didn't have the numbers, and oftentimes there's righteous patriots and matriots who are sitting in prison now in the United States and other countries because they tried this type of law and they did everything right. Sometimes they didn't, but a lot of times they did. But we're dealing with lawless corporate governments and essentially racketeering criminals that have taken over all these governments. And so they're put in prison because they're using the type of law that actually could bring them down. So the key thing here that we learned is you need numbers. So we now have a website. It's called the In Power Movement, and anybody listening can go to that website. And you have to join because we want a self-sustaining movement. It's all reasonably priced, and we're not in this for the money at all. We're in it to try to take it on the private side where we're going to be less harassed doing it than if we were public with it. And then it sustains it because people pay just enough money, and it's in tiers. Like if you don't want to belong for more than a year to get an action done or whatever, you can opt out finally after a year, or you can keep paying a reasonable amount of money to be a part of the whole thing. But again, we're not after money. We're after just trying to have enough money to keep operating without constantly having to beg for money, which I think is a fair, with all the effort that has gone into this for years, I think it's worth people being paid for something, you know, for their work. So we've got people worldwide waiting, and it's an automated website to get these forms and begin filing them against the corporate governments. When we polled worldwide, the four issues, the mega issues that people are most interested in are vaccines, GMOs, smart utility meters, and 5G wireless. 5G wireless probably being the most dangerous of all. And I'm one of the writers. I work with Cal Washington, who is this master legal practitioner, and I work with him and two other writers, and they're both experienced and gifted in their own right. The most complex legal document probably that's ever been drafted. It's the 5G notice of liability, and we just finished that this past Wednesday, November 17th in the afternoon, and we were high-fiving and cheering because it took us months to write it. I think we got virtually every aspect of what the Dark Force has planned for us on this planet, which is total annihilation, and exactly how they plan to do it using electromagnetic weapons, of which 5G is the most horrible. And it has to be loaded on with the other four of the biggest of the four issues that the people worldwide are interested in. And we have literally thousands of people worldwide that want to file this. We've got people throughout the British Commonwealth. We've got people in the EU, France, Germany, Holland. They're all over the world. Australia, New Zealand, some of the Asian countries are coming on board, particularly with the Hong Kong. I think with what's happening in South America with Ecuador right now and so forth, we have got people, and we're translating this into other languages. Once we get this movement going, I don't think it's going to be stopped. And there are secret operations going on worldwide with what is known as the Earth Alliance, and we don't have time to get into that. But it's an alliance of government at the top levels of positive leaders and positive military, who are fed up with the satanic cabals taking over our governments through these corporate governments and perpetrating these crimes on the people of the planet. But what we need is not just at the top doing these secret operations, you know, through the militaries and this sort of thing and the secret space programs. We also need people on the ground. People need to start waking up, taking back their power, standing in their sovereignty. And that's exactly what the 5G notices of liability are going to do. So I am extremely excited to mention this on your show. This is the first time I think we've announced this publicly. I could be wrong, but it's certainly one of the first times. And we just created this. This is the most comprehensive of all of them. So if people just even reading this, as you know, to prepare to file it, they're going to learn more than possibly more than they've ever learned in their lives with the comprehensiveness of what we actually got down here and what they actually plan to do to us and how we can stop it. So I think we're at a very exciting moment that despite all the darkness that seems to be on the planet, I also think there's a tremendous amount of light coming in, and I think that the people of this planet are going to win it. And this is, I'm telling you, one of the ways that average people can participate in this without going and doing demonstrations and all these things that are okay. They're doing it all over the world, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but I think this might be even more effective, along with mass meditations and prayer, which is another huge thing that I'm involved in. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say, Sally, because you asked for, like, you wanted to know more about this and the fact that this offers a viable solution that actually has nearly brought down governments. And if you've got thousands of people doing it, not just one person, that was one person doing that in Canada. If we have thousands of people doing it, I don't think that they're going to be able to stop it.
Well, this is precisely what I was hoping you would talk about. And I didn't realize that you were an insider there. So that was very exciting. A friend of mine, Pamela Evans-Gary, has been involved with it, but not to the level and depth, certainly, that you have been. And I'm sure she's eager to hear this interview, but everyone should hear it, and everybody should learn a lesson from it. As you say, they've had a lot of success with the smart meters. And if you know, I always think vaccines are the exception to everything. You can have success on every realm, but when it comes to vaccines, no. Let's see if we can make it move and work in this realm, because
I think it can.
Well, if any success stories you know, come on our program and tell them. I want you to market this. I want you to let people know of bona fide successes.
All right.
Okay?
You want
Will
me to
do that?
We have time for like two stories?
Let's see. We have 3 minutes left.
All right.
So, and
first
it's not
is,
the full three. Go ahead.
I filed in Thurston County, the county of Olympia, Washington, where I live now, Washington State. I filed a smaller case, and I wrote this myself using the contract that Cal wrote, and it was to stop legal harassment against a Muslim couple. And the case was tainted because certain persons did not give me the correct information. But nevertheless, we had 15 people from the Seattle area who had been experienced and worked on the smart meter notice of liability, and we had 15 the other half from Thurston County, including the couple. And we filed this. We just did one iteration of it. It was like in midsummer of 2015, and then this case had been dragging on, where they were being harassed and they were using the UN Agenda 21 building codes to do this. And it's a long story, but anyway, it had dragged on for 4 years. We filed this in late July of 2015, and by early September, they had dismissed the case that had gone on for 4 years against this couple.
Okay, thank you. Rebecca Campbell, come back with successful vaccine stories, please. And tune in, everybody, stay the course, because Ingrid Castle is coming on with Immunize Wisely. Again, I thank my remarkable guest, Rebecca Campbell and Ingrid, for booking this show. Thank you.
Call me back anytime, Sally.
Cheerio, my friend. Thanks. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.